Good morning. Shift our microphone a little bit and hope it stays in place. There we go. I think it's going to hold. Well, I want to start by thanking the person who inspired my talk today, and that's Justice, who's been serving as our worship associate. This service wouldn't have happened without a conversation that Justice and I had around the time that Justice decided she wanted to become a full member of YE's congregation. So thank you so much. I hope I don't embarrass you now with the talk that I'm going to do. But I also want to thank my friend Wang Jin. Wang Jin was a Neo-Confucian scholar who lived from 1483 to 1541. He believed that we are born with significant intuitive knowledge, like that of good and evil. We add to that knowledge through action and in no other way. Knowledge and action, to do and to know, are one. He said, "You must work on simply being cautious in your own private behavior. Act when you should act and stop when you should stop. If you do this, then you will not waver when you encounter situations or engage in idle and false thinking." So you might guess that Wang Jin was a tightly wound control freak. Guess again. He also said that the human mind is fundamentally, spontaneously joyous. Trouble arises when it becomes tied up with selfish desires. As soon as selfish desires sprout, it wipes them away, and the human mind is joyous as before. Joy is joy in this learning. Learning is learning this joy. Joy is joy in this learning. Learning is learning this joy. Could it really be so simple? Isn't joy the result of success, a series of successes, a lifetime of mostly winning? Or even if we don't win, doesn't joy come at least from being right 9 times out of 10, or maybe just a little bit more? Let's take joy in music now, before we turn to the joy of learning. Into learning joy. Since I just did a reading from the Confucian tradition of ancient China, Naturally, I want to now talk to you about Harry Potter and how he helped me to learn Spanish. Confucius, Harry Potter, learning Spanish. I'm sure that all of these connect for you just like they do for me. No? Maybe I should back up just a little bit and try to make things clear. I'd hoped to see the Reed College students here today. I'd contacted them and told them I was talking about Harry Potter. And then I found out that they have their break, their fall break. So, okay. When I was growing up in Illinois, children would start learning one of two foreign languages in sixth grade. This year's crop would start in Spanish. The next year's would take French. My turn came in a French year. This seemed strange to me. There weren't nearly so many Spanish speakers spread throughout the U.S. at that time. And yes, Illinois had once been a part of New France before the Louisiana Purchase. And yes, there is Quebec bordering Illinois, Minnesota. You know, what state is Quebec border? Okay, I couldn't answer that question. Vermont, Maine, New Hampshire, and New York. Yay, you get the prize. But we also shared that long, long border with Mexico, with so many people already going back and forth. How many French speakers were you likely to encounter just outside Chicago? Well, please don't get me wrong. I don't regret the French at all. My wife, Pam, had learned it under similar circumstances, which really helped on our honeymoon when we made friends with a couple, Edith and Hussein, from Germany and Tunisia. And French was the only language we could use to communicate with. Still, as Spanish grew into this country's second language, I felt called to learn it. I tried one semester at Pam's university, but found the experience frustrating for a number of reasons. Most of the students had already studied for several years, but were taking level one for an easy A. The native instructor spoke very little, and we spent too much time practicing with each other. 99% of the Spanish you were hearing was made by people who couldn't speak Spanish. So what Spanish I was learning mostly sounded awful. Later, I tried Rosetta Stone. It worked better for me. No grammar exercises, all native speakers on the recordings, and some cool voice recognition software to guide your own pronunciation. No explanations, no charts, no chance to slip into English to ask distracting questions. As our friend Wang Zhen might say, I learned the language as I did it, practicing at home and while driving between Salem and my old church in the Tri-Cities. I made good progress, but Rosetta Stone is very business and travel oriented. I'm a guy who works with stories, so I needed something more. I'd read all of J.K. Rowling's Harry Potter books to my son, who would sit on my lap and offer his observations about ideas the author seemed to have borrowed from books we'd read before, from Tolkien's Hobbit and The Lord of the Rings, C.S. Lewis's Chronicles of Narnia, and Ursula K. Le Guin's Earthsea stories, with its own academy for young wizards. We'd seen through Lewis's blatant attempt to push Christianity on kids and his scarcely veiled British imperial denigration of Hindu and Muslim worldviews. We took note of how using magic could be costly, exhausting, tiring for Tolkien and Le Guin's wizards, but seemed too effortless, too easy in Harry Potter's world. As the movies came out, we would compare them with the books, and then as the DVDs were issued, we bought each one. All criticisms aside, we love the stories, we love the movies. Most DVDs now come with soundtrack and subtitle options in English, French, and Spanish. So I realized that here was a great opportunity. My boy and I watched all the Harry Potter films many times in English already. And by middle school, he started learning Spanish. So we went back through them all, first in English with Spanish subtitles, then with the Spanish audio and Spanish subtitles. Once through of this cycle was enough for him since he was way ahead of me already. But I continue to watch them like this over and over I was intrigued by how often the text and the soundtrack diverged. I was also learning different ways to express the same thing, and all of this in Spanish. And of course, I got to know the movies rather well. I still watch them often while doing yoga and lifting weights in the hour before dinner, though now I alternate Harry Potter with a number of other films. I watch the early ones most often since these have much more dialogue than the later ones, which, though excellent, they have more action than discussion. I've also come to appreciate the different styles of the different directors. If you know these movies, which is your favorite one? Favorite Harry Potter movie?
Number three.
You know, Matthias, there's surveys out there. Number three is the favorite, seems to be the favorite for many people. It's mine too. Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban. It's directed by Alfonso Cuarón, who's the director of Y Tu Mama También, and the first Mexican director to win an Oscar for Best Picture. He shows us a wizard's world where we would not be comfortable. Sure, the giant snake in number two was scary like a carnival ride, and the face coming out of the back of someone's head in number one could be the stuff of small children's nightmares. But the Dementors in number three take things to a whole new level. And the director's art makes them something much more than spooky figures in black cloaks. Do you remember what the Dementors are? Those who've seen the movies, had kids, grandkids, you know the Dementors. They're like the Grim Reaper, but without the scythe, and there's lots of them. They're tall, skeletal creatures, normally, if anything about them can be called normal, normally employed as guards at Azkaban, the wizard's prison. Their presence causes water to freeze and flowers to wither. And people nearby feel all their happiness drain away. Professor Lupin, the kindly werewolf who teaches that essential subject, defense against dark arts, explains that Dementors feed on our happy memories, stay too close to one for too long, and they can suck them all away, leaving us with nothing but memories of our worst experiences, not just the fact of them, but also the feelings. What helps to alleviate that? Chocolate. Blessed chocolate can help us overcome the effects of brief or casual contact with these horrendous creatures. But sucking out our happiness is not the worst that they can do. They can be called upon to perform what's called the Dementor's Kiss, a form of execution. Worse than execution, because it leaves you dead in life, alive, but experiencing death instead of passing on to some new level. I think that's the only death we're really afraid of. Their lipless mouths, round like a lamprey eel's, come close to yours, and they can exert this sort of spiritual vacuum that sucks out your soul. And the soul is depicted as a small, bright ball of light that will be forever lost in darkness unless something stops that process. And there's a way to do that, a spell. And it's something Harry has to learn. The words of the spell are the easy part. Do you remember them? Do you remember the words of the spell? Parents, grandparents, were you just cooking? Were you on the phone while they were watching the movies? No.
Expecto Patronum.
Expecto Patronum! Thank you, Matthias. Do you know the meaning? Like most spells in the Harry Potter world, they're in Latin, the language of Rome and the Catholic Church, and for centuries, the lingua franca of European law and scholarship. Expecto means I await. Patronus means protector, while the ending makes it into a direct object. So expecto patronum means I await a protector. But words are not enough. To make the spell work, you need what? Anybody remember? Anybody remember? You need to conjure a powerful, joyful memory. You need to recall a feeling of intense joy, deliberate, focused joy, nothing casual about it. Harry's initial efforts are not successful. He recalls the exhilaration of his first time flying on a broomstick, at which he's quite gifted. "Not nearly strong enough," says Professor Lupin, who is teaching him the spell. And for the first time in the Potter world, this is magic that costs you something, that really asks something of you. Harry has to dig deeper. Before long, he finds it. But it's not something exciting, he tells Lupin. Nor is this memory exactly a happy one, feliz, in the Spanish soundtrack. It's a sense of his deceased parents' presence by his side. A feeling of being together with people who care deeply for each other. Professor Lupin has already made it clear that he can't tell Harry if he's found his core of joy. That he can only know by doing, Wang Jian style. He'll know when he's done it because the Dementors will be banished. The joy will work like a shield, Lupin says. Harry does better on his second try, and still better on the next one. Like any learning, learning such magic takes practice, and practice involves repetition. We replay, rehearse, refine our actions, and yes, our feelings. Feelings can be practiced. Some must be practiced, and often refined. It's hard to express in any language exactly what the difference is between the tickle of happy excitement and the quiet base of joy. Maybe joy is what we learn from happiness. An enduring core derived from many happy experiences. We discover, maybe, I don't know, does that sound true to you? Maybe by learning from our happy experiences, we discover what has been there all along. Wang Jian said, the human mind is fundamentally, spontaneously joyous. And then he goes on to say that trouble arises when it becomes tied up with selfish desires. But I don't think that's the only trouble, do you? Internal processes of thought and feeling are very important, yes, but there are powerful external forces as well, working against our joy. Harry Potter is more than his own feelings. His parents live inside of him, as we see many times. His aunt and uncle and nasty cousin have battered for years at his self-esteem. You think he's kept them completely out? Then there's that scar from his first struggle against Voldemort when he was a baby. And he's got some new scars earned in his first years at Hogwarts. There's the history of that school and its place in a 1,000-year-old struggle between the wizard world's version of racism and imperialism versus its welcoming and inclusive side. Our world is not so different from Harry's, which, of course, is one of its author's sharpest points. But Wang Jian is confident that the human mind will spontaneously rise, focus, and wipe these troubles away until the human mind is joyous as before. Joy is joy in this learning. Learning is learning this joy. Do you think that Wang Jian's China was any less complex or troubled than Harry's world or ours? I doubt it. Not from anything I've read or seen on PBS. But I don't doubt that it's important to have some a place where we can focus on learning joy. Can you think of such a place? How about this place? Professor Lupin, a teacher who has to struggle every day with the werewolf inside of him, tells us, like Wang Zhen, that we must learn our joy. Learn to focus it in a spell. You spell out the change you want in a few simple words, then express them along with a remembered feeling, recalling it over and over, learning it with ever-increasing confidence. His spell is Expecto Patronum. What spell could we use here? Well, I started today by thanking Justice. She and I had a conversation around the time that she decided that now was a time to become a member here. She had something to share that really couldn't wait. Some ideas about the quality of our congregational life. Her thought was that things here should be more jumpy, less grumpy. That's how she put it. It's not enough to come here angry about Trump and looking for someone else to grump with over coffee, which of course I would never do, not me. There's plenty of time to grump over being right about something when others are so very wrong. But here and now, this is the time to jump, to rise up on feelings of joy. Old joy, new joy, remembered joy, joy that has been, joy that is, joy that must be, really must be. Conjure that up. How do you do that? Conjure that up. Fill yourself with that. Start before you get here. Start in the morning before you come here. Fill yourself with it. Express it outward to dispel the grump from yourself and to help blow it off of others. To express that as a spell, you could say, more jump, less grump. Want to try that? More jump, less grump. Once again.
More jump, less grump. More jump, less grump.
A little louder.
More jump, less grump.
Softly.
More jump, less grump. More jump. Less grump. More jump. Less grump.
Oh, you got it. You got it. You got a sense of humor for sure. I started by thanking Justice for this sermon, but the truth is that what she said to me that day has affected everything that I have tried to do here ever since. That's the way it is with the right words spoken at the right way, at the right time, in a place like this. They can be just like magic. Thank you, Justice, for the gift of more jump, less grump. Now, Google Translate tells me that the Latin for this would be magis saltus minus irascatur. Want to try that? Magis saltus minus irascatur. Okay. Just don't say that around any Latin speakers you might meet around town. You're better off trusting a werewolf professor than you are blindly trusting Google Translate, as some of you may have learned the hard way. Lupin's spell is Expecto Patronum. I await a protector. I wait. I get ready. It's something we need to be intentional about, just as if we were learning a skill, an art, or even a language. Intentional and timely. The longer you wait with Dementors, the closer they'll come to extracting your happy feelings, or maybe even your soul. Wang Zhen said that joy is joy in learning one's own spontaneous joy. And that learning, the most important learning, learning is learning this joy. With practice, joy becomes solid and swift. Which brings me back to learning Spanish, of course. As I continued my practice of watching those movies, slowly but steadily dropping the English, then the Spanish subtitles, until only the spoken language, Spanish, was coming through my ears, I felt my understanding improve. But what about trying to speak? As so often happens, my wife stepped in to help. She found herself at a meeting at her school, seated by a semi-retired Spanish professor and his wife, a native of Ecuador and a longtime language teacher herself. Hearing about my learning project, she kindly offered to tutor me. We talked on the phone in English and set up a time and place. And we met, Marta and I, and talked, and talked, and talked, all in Spanish, for over an hour and a half. I made millions of mistakes, of course, but no matter. We met each other each week for several months. She quickly identified some things for me to focus on, especially the dreaded subjunctive tense, a common problem for most new learners, but she also reassured me that I was already using it correctly, sometimes without even realizing it. She must have been right. I wasn't really even aware of a subjunctive tense until she mentioned it. Sometimes I wish that I could have stayed unaware so that I wouldn't get tense about it. Driving the subjunctive away with a spell might help keep my mind more fundamentally, spontaneously joyous, like someone said somewhere, sometime. But there you have it. My first real conversation in that language had lasted for over an hour and a half, spontaneously and joyfully skipping from one thing to another and another. And all I can say is that it almost seemed like magic. Joy is joy in such learning. Learning is learning this joy. So may it be. And... More jump, less grump.